Good morning. I'm not wearing a microphone, so I'm going to stand right here behind this podium the whole time, but that's okay because that's probably my safest place to stay. Let's pray. God, we are in awe of you. That you are a gracious and compassionate God, full of mercy. And Father, I pray that this morning you would speak through me, that you would move me out of the way so that you might speak to the hearts of those who are listening. Father, pray that you would be present, that you would be glorified in the remainder of our time here this morning. And we ask that through the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you would, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. There's a place on the back of the bulletin. You can take notes if you want to. David McElwain emailed me a couple weeks ago and said, can you send me the title of your sermon and any notes or outlines or headings that you want? And I said, I don't have any notes. I don't have an outline. I don't even have a catchy title, but here's something you can use. So there's a title there, The Power of Remembering. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 4 through 9 and 20 through 21. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And in the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these laws and decrees and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? Then you must tell them, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. What is the one thing that you wish you could forget? The one thing that you wish had never happened, or at least that you would never have to think about it again. Maybe it was that embarrassing guffaw of when you asked the dreaded question, when is that baby due? Or maybe it was that time you experimented with a new haircut. Maybe it's that extra serving of dessert you ate last night that you're regretting right now. Or the time you walked into the wrong restroom and didn't notice it until it was too late. Maybe it was that time that you invited two girls to the soccer game you were coaching and they both showed up. But maybe the time that you wish you could forget is something more serious. Maybe it's that season when life was really hard and work was hard to find and you weren't sure that the money was going to make it to the end of the month. Maybe it was a time when illness seemed to be a constant companion and you weren't sure it was ever going to end. Maybe it was that death of a loved one, of a spouse, or a parent, or a child. Or perhaps the loss of a long-awaited pregnancy. Maybe the time you wish you could forget is that marriage that just could not work out. Maybe you wish you could forget that first time you ever sought comfort in a bottle or a pill or a syringe. Maybe you wish you could forget when you hit rock bottom. But think about what God is commanding the people of Israel through the words of Moses. If you read Deuteronomy 6 and 7 and 8, he's saying, do all these things, obey all these laws, observe all of these feasts, including the Passover, which itself is a reliving of the Exodus. And he says, when you do all these things, your children are going to ask, why do we do this? And God says, when they ask that question, I want you to remember the worst time in your history, and I want you to tell your children about it. We were slaves in Egypt. Think about that. That's a loaded phrase. The memory of the back-breaking, brick-making labor, the cruelty of those slave drivers, the oppression, the murder of all of our baby boys. We were slaves in Egypt. But the purpose is not to dwell on the pain of those painful memories. The purpose is to remember what God has done. We were slaves in Egypt, yes. But the Lord brought us out of Egypt by His strong hand. Do you remember? Do you remember those 10 plagues that struck all of Egypt and spared the Israelites in the land of Goshen? Do you remember the horror of the death of the firstborn children of Egypt and the mercy of the blood on the doorposts that spared the lives of our children? Do you remember the parting of the Red Sea and how we walked across that sea on dry ground? Do you remember the manna from heaven in the desert? Do you remember the water from the rock and those 40 years of clothes and sandals that did not wear out and we didn't even get blisters on our feet? Do you remember? We were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord delivered us with a mighty hand. There is power in remembering where we have been and what God has done. There is power in remembering where we have been and what God has done. And this idea of remembering is not just limited to these instructions from Moses about the events of the Exodus. We see it throughout Scripture. One place we see it in the Old Testament is the prophet Jeremiah. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah is recounting the worst time in Israel's post-Exodus history, when the people turned from God, when Jerusalem was destroyed. The whole book is a lament of those tragedies. But in the middle of his lament, Jeremiah pens these words in Lamentations 3, verses 20 through 24. He says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. In the middle of recalling Israel's second chance gone wrong, he wrote one of the greatest devotional songs of my childhood. He says, "Yet when I remember this, I dare to hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Jeremiah remembers the character and the promises of God in the midst of his lament, and this remembrance brings him hope. We see remembrance playing its role in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the church at Corinth, begins by reminding them of a rather hard time he had experienced. If you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting in verse 8, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves, and we learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." I have to tell you that this one resonates deeply with me, because I feel like I could have written these words in 2014. When Amber and I moved our young family to Liberia to serve as medical missionaries in October of 2013, supported in part by this church where I grew up, we had no idea the difficulties that lay ahead for us. And when the Ebola outbreak started in Guinea, and then spread to Liberia and Sierra Leone, and then it spread to the hospital where we were living and working, we certainly felt crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And when I contracted Ebola and became deathly ill, and Amber and the children were thousands of miles away from me in Texas, we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. And on our best days, we're able to say with Paul that as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And as you can see by our presence here with you this morning, almost exactly 5 years later, that God did rescue us from mortal danger. And we continue to choose to place our confidence in him. And we believe that he will continue to rescue us. Perhaps not from seeming mortal danger this time around, although who knows? But we trust that he will save us from ourselves. But Paul didn't only remind the Corinthian church of his difficult time and how he had learned through it to rely on God. He also reminded them of their role in that story. If we keep reading in verse 11, Paul says, "And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. And likewise, in our difficult time, you prayed for us. And we all together saw God move. And people all over the world gave thanks to God because he graciously answered so many prayers for our safety." But it wasn't only Paul who seemed to think that remembering was important. Even Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, gave his disciples specific instructions and a very common activity to help them remember, to help us remember. And we collectively participated in that remembrance this morning. Malachi, thank you for leading us through that remembrance. Luke 22:19, he took the bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." So what's the point? Why all this focus on remembering? What's the purpose? What's the benefit? Aren't we supposed to forget what is behind and press on toward the goal for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus? If God has forgiven our sins, removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, if he has forgotten our sins and remembers them no more, then why should we remember our lowest of lows and our hardest times? Don't we have enough to worry about today? Enough to be anxious about without remembering the times in the past that caused us the most grief and pain and worry? I want to suggest that there are four benefits that come as a result of remembering the hard times of the past. Number one, when we remember the hard times, when we remember that we were slaves in Egypt, it prompts us to remember what God did in those dark times. We were slaves in Egypt, true, but God delivered us. God delivered us. It prompts us to remember the many ways that God has provided for us and taken care of us and delivered us in the past. And this ought to result in giving thanks to God. Our final passage that I'd like for you to turn to this morning is Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 6, says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." How can we thank God for all he has done unless we are intentional about remembering what he has done? But when we do remember and we recall how God has been faithful in the past, how can we help but be thankful? The first result of remembering our hard times is that it causes us to give thanks to God for all he has done for us. Number two, the second result of remembering the hard times of the past is peace. How can remembering hard times, how can remembering our worst times result in peace? Paul seems to see the connection pretty clearly. If we keep reading in Philippians 4, he says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done for you." And the peace of God, far beyond what we can understand, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we remember our hard times in the past and how God has been faithful to his character, to his steadfast love and his mercy that is new every morning, when we are filled with gratitude for what God has done in the past, then he promises that we will experience that peace that passes understanding. Even if our current circumstances are overwhelming us with anxiety and worry, when we remember what God has done and we are thankful, those circumstances lose their power to overwhelm us. And the result is the peace of God, far beyond what we can understand. It will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The third result of remembering is that it gives us strength. When we remember what God has done, and when we are thankful to Him, and we are guarded with peace, we will find the strength to resist sin and temptation. When Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, and Satan came to tempt Him, and Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, and the tempter said, turn those rocks to bread. You're hungry, aren't you? Jesus responded, man does not live by bread alone. I've often heard that story used to teach the lesson that of the importance of hiding Scripture in our hearts. That's absolutely true. But do you realize what Jesus was quoting there? I don't think this was just a random Scripture He pulled out of His pocket for resisting temptation when I'm hungry. That quote comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. That same passage that I started reading from the beginning of this lesson. Jesus was remembering that we were slaves in Egypt, and God delivered us with a mighty hand. And I know that when I live in the memory of what God has done in my life, when that peace guards my heart and my mind, it gives me the strength to resist and stand firm against temptation. And the fourth result of remembering our hardest times is courage. When we remember the dark times of our past and we remember how God has been faithful through even our worst days, that He has never left us nor forsaken us, we can find the courage to move forward and to live lives of compassion rather than lives of fear. We can find the courage that Jesus found in the garden to pray, not my will be done, but your will be done. It's a choice we have to make every day, to choose God's will over our own, to choose to live in compassion rather than living out of a place of fear. Some days it may come more easily than others, but on those days when we are feeling crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, it is the memory of God's faithfulness in the past that assures us He will be faithful in the present as well. And when we know that God will be faithful, we can move forward with courage. So four results, I suggest, from remembering the hard times of the past and what God has done. Thankfulness, peace, strength, and courage. So how can you be intentional this week about remembering what God has done? How can you seek to intentionally dwell on God's work in your life? I want to challenge you this week to allow God to redeem and transform those dark times in the past, to transform them into a source of gratitude and peace and strength and courage. Maybe you're in one of those dark times right now, and all you need today is for someone to pray with you that you would experience God's steadfast love and faithful mercy this morning. Or maybe you've been reminded this morning of the amazing way that God has been faithful in your past. And maybe what you need is to tell someone that you are thankful. That you are thankful to God for what he has done in your life. Whatever your situation is this morning, if we can help in any way, there will be elders at the front and at the back, and you can walk to them at this time as we stand and sing.